First of all, welcome back. We'll start with that. And ironically, we're about to give a shmooze of a parsha that's not really you're up to yet. Because you most, not most, some of you are in the right place, but some of you missed actually, some of you missed the parsha of Achrimos. So I assume it could be in the yeshiva they made, I'm not sure what they're doing for you, maybe they're reading for you both. First Leah will be the whole Achrimos, moving over to Kedoshim. But some of us are on Kedoshim right now, like ourselves. I want to read to you a very important idea that I think is a should be a game changer if we take it to heart and take it seriously. Is a pasuk we all know and love. The pasuk is V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, and we know there's a song about it, right? There's a Yishev Bor's choir song about it, which, by the way, one of the Torah Chaya Talmidim in the past was a soloist who sang that song until on stage he froze and forgot the words and never sang in public again until Purim when he was in Shana Aleph. And then Poland and Shana Aleph when we drank a little bit. But besides that, he wouldn't sing ever again. But so Rabbi Kiva says, the klal of the Torah, it's a very big klal in the Torah to love your fellow man. Just each word, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. I want to share with you just an unbelievable thing I read in the introduction to the Sefer called the Haggid. And Rav Yaakov Galinsky tells us the story over. And it's not only about this shmooze, but about a shmooze in general. I think it's a very important concept to get into play. And you'll see in the end how it connects with this idea. Even though Al's not here, and he's not the one fighting me usually on the bagel day, I'm still going to try to finish in somewhat on time so you don't miss too many of your opportunities to join the yeshiva lunch again. I know you missed it very much from being gone. He says a story. He says, the Panovich Rav of Kahaneman came into Rav Yaakov Galinsky, and he said to him the following thing. He said, what would you do if you saw a Jew walk into a forest, let's say, and you see like every wild animal, a bear, a lion, leopards, cheetahs, everyone starts to like surround him. How could you help the guy out? What should you do? So he says, what you should do is wake him up. He's probably having a dream. Wake him up. Doesn't happen in real life like that. You don't have like animals bearing together. You wake him up. You should wake him up. So he said, sometimes when you realize like, you know, what you can do, what you're capable of doing, so that's all, you don't need like a direct, you know, word off all the enemies. Just wake the guy up and let him realize, he's not really there. He's not really in that dream. He's not really in that mess right now. Oh my gosh, wow, you saved my life. Not really, you just woke him up. He's not really in that mess right now. So he says the same thing. Rav Chaim Brisker says, when he gives the Musar Shmuz, Rav Chaim Brisker, so he says, I talk to myself. Talk to myself. I invite you to listen to me talking to myself. I can go into a wall and whisper to myself, that's weird. So I'll talk in public to myself and let you listen a little bit. Why am I starting with this as the introduction to our Shmuz? Because it happens to be that many of us sometimes don't know who our real selves are, especially after having a Bein Hazman. We have a time, you know, we come in a certain way to yeshiva. We have 6-7 months when we're busy working on ourselves. We have ups, we have downs, we have realities that we're focused on. And all of a sudden you leave the yeshiva reality and you join the rest of the world reality. And you might at some point in time scratch your head and wonder, what in the world is going on there in yeshiva? This is me. This is where I am. You know, I'm not a guy who sits and learns all day long. I'm a person of the world. A person who experiences things in a certain way. This whole thing I did, I enjoyed it. It was a great experience. I had a lot of fascinating moments in time. But this is not me. I was in a dream state. And really, the reality might just be that it's wrong. Anyone here who's ever seen the movie Inception would know. Sometimes you don't know which is your dream state. You're not even sure which is your dream state. And for many of us, if we didn't have a tell, you don't have a tell, which means to know, right? You spin that top. You know whether it's dreams or not because the top doesn't stop spinning in the dream. But it does in reality. So you get stuck. You don't know what your tell is sometimes. And you come back here and you are wondering, my gosh, which one was the dream state? Being yeshiva with fanatical rabbis who've gotten to my guts for the last few months when I've been training myself for years already to have a different path in life? Maybe that was my dream state. This is my reality. But then you get back to yeshiva again, hopefully, and you open yourself up to what's about to happen again, hopefully, and you say to yourself, no, that wasn't right. I don't ever feel like this over there. That is a dream. I walk around in a fog over there. I'm not dreaming over here. I'm living over here, and I'm dreaming over there. And sometimes you just have to wake up. You don't have to give anyone a big Mr. Schmooze. Give some like big, you know, rah-rah speech. Just wake up. Spin your tail. Do it over there. You'll see you never stop spinning because it's all not what it's supposed to be about. It's us chasing our tails in a world that's very confusing. And we go back to it. We start chasing our tails again. Oh my gosh, I forgot. That's my life. The dog chasing tails. That's what I'm supposed to be doing over here. What was I doing beforehand? I'm going to run out after tail again, after tail again, after tail again. What's me running after your tail? Let me run to my college. Let me run to my career. Let me run to my getting money. Run to my getting money. Spend money. Get money. Spend money. Get money. Next thing I know, I'm too old to do any one of them right now. And I'm put into a, you know, I just kind of like let life seep out of me until it's all over. That's not reality. That's a fog we're stuck in life. You come to Eretz Yisrael, you stop chasing your tail. You start focusing on the moment right now. You start building up a place. You don't have to be given anything other than a wake up. Okay, you're back. Shake a little bit. You're back. Ah. Wow. Like, I forgot this. This was it. This was what I'm supposed to be doing with my life now. I don't mean you're in Kolo. I don't mean that. I don't mean you're in Yeshiva, Shana Dal, Shana Hey. You notice I didn't skip Shana Bet and Shana Gimel. But that's what I mean. But it means that this is who I am. I'm someone who's in a passion to search for God. And this is the place that gives me the most clarity. With that in mind, V'ahavta kamocha. What does it mean? What does that concept mean? What does V'ahavta mean? What is that?
The sefer.
What does V'ahavta mean?
I want that
much. Yours? What does it mean to love someone truly? To love someone truly, V'ahavta. It means that I care for what I want to give them something that's in their best interest. That's what I care about most. V'ahavta, I want to give them something that's in their best interest. Doesn't mean that I love them and I let them, I hang out with them and I choose them and I'm always like kind of supporting them what they do. It doesn't mean that. Your best friend is the one who will not make you mess up. He will not support your mess ups. He'll actually fight you on it if you're going to mess up. L'havdil. If your friend was drinking and he wanted to drive afterwards, no good friend would say, you know what, I don't want to fight with you. Take your keys, I'll see you later on. No good friend does that. A good friend will fight you, would get bloodied in the process to protect you from killing yourself. A true friend is one who will give you, even if you don't want to take it. That's a true friend. So the question is, how do we go about being true friends, v'ahavta, to give someone something? And the answer is, if you would look at re'acha kamocha, like yourself. Of course you want someone to do the same thing for you. When you're in your worst state, you don't want someone to support your bad habit. You don't want that. You want someone to treat you, or treat like you want to be, treat him like you want to be treated yourself. And therefore, the same way that kamocha, you want to be sure someone protects you, you should protect your friend the same exact way. It only works if you look at him as a re'acha. You know what re'acha means? A friend means an equal. We know when it comes to Baba Kama, it says shor re'acha. What did you learn from that drush? What did you learn from that shor re'acha? What did you learn? Excellent. Not a shor shel hektish. You will love your friend when you look at him as a peer of yours. I'm not better than him, and he's not better than me. We are two people who have the same challenge in life. Not the same exact, but we all go through challenges. I'm not going to jump down his throat when he fights me, because I know I do things that are silly all sometimes. I don't want him to jump down my throat. We're equals. We all have our struggles. I'm not better than you. I might have been given more privileges than you in life. Maybe I have more money than you have, because my parents have more money than you had. Maybe God gave me better abilities than you did, but I'm not better than you. I have my struggles and you have your struggles. If I realize that my re'acha means that we are peers of each other, then I should want nothing more than to help him out like I want him to help me out. I should give him what he needs. Doesn't mean a pat on the back all the time. Might be a slap in his face sometimes. Might be. If that's what he needs. I shouldn't watch my friend commit religious or any other suicide for that matter, if I feel it's the wrong thing for me to be doing. Simply, I want someone to protect me from such things. But the biggest problem that we have is the kamocha part. Is you don't care about yourselves enough. You don't see the harm yourself to make a wrong move. You don't understand the damage that could be done for you deciding this versus that. You don't understand it at all. And therefore, you don't protect your friend from it because you don't get it yourself sometimes. The kamocha, the value that you have in the world, if you understood how lucky you were, how precious that you are, you're back right now in Eretz Yisrael. You're not a regular guy. Despite what the last month might have made you think again. You're not a regular guy. You know who else knows you're not a regular guy? Today's Yom HaShoah. The world knows we're not regular guys. No one treats the Jews as just power of people. They either love us, like many Christians do actually, or they hate us, like most of the world does. No one treats you like you're a regular citizen. If they knew that you were an Orthodox Jew, they would not look at you the same anymore. Why? Because everyone knows that you're different. They all know that. There's actually a story. There was a person named Shimshon Wertheimer, who was a Rav in Vienna. And he used to have these debates all the time about the Jewish people. We said in Shemona Esrei a few weeks ago, Ata b'chartanu mikol ha'amim. Hashem, you selected us from the other nations of the world. You know how elitist it sounds? It's elitist. So back in those days, people heard the tefillos, they understood what it meant, and they were very bothered by that. They used to have these debates. And in the end, the debates were always, you know, end in the stalemate. No one could prove each other's points. So the king said, I'm going to arrest you as the rabbi of the town unless you can prove that you're different than everybody else. How are you going to prove it? So he said, you know what, I have a way to prove it. He said, I want you to call to the town a meal. A meal for the non-Jews and a meal for the Jews separately. We have different foods, kosher, non-kosher, so serve differently. But serve the non-Jews, non-kosher food, so Jews, kosher food. And I'll make the rules, and you watch how everyone behaves. And sure enough, the king invites everyone to come. First hour will be the non-Jews, and a separate room an hour later will be the Jews, because they can't eat together, different food requirements, different dietary requirements and restrictions. Sure enough, the first meal comes out, and the servants make a rule. They say, the rule is you cannot eat with your hands, you must eat like royalty with forks and knives. They brought this lavish meal, but when they got there were no forks and knives. They're waiting. Finally, the waiters bring out these forks and knives that are 2 feet long. You know, if I put a fork over here, it stretches to the end of the wall. Maybe it's more than 2 feet long. 3 feet long, 4 feet long. And if you ever tried to eat with a fork that long, you can't eat it. It's not possible. And again, as they're getting frustrated, the waiter says, I'm sorry, you can't touch it with your hands. The rule is you can't do it with your hands. And they spent an hour trying to figure out how to maneuver, and they left the meal untouched. They couldn't figure it out. And they said to themselves, you know what? Let's see how the Jews work. Because at the end of the day, if they give them better forks and knives than we had, then I have a tie now. What just happens now? And they go and they watch the Jews. Same thing happened. And as Ami just demonstrated, every Jew put a fork and he handed it to his friend. And across the table, they shared. I put a fork and I give it right back to you. Because we believe in a concept of after l'recha kamocha. We value each other as much as ourselves. As much. Why? Because I am no better than you are. I'm no better. It's not about me. I'm sure as many of you, when you went to Poland just now, if you went there just now, as we just had a Yom HaShoah experience, the siren, take a second and pause. There were people who gave up their lives for other people. They're no better than someone else. I'm the same as you are. It's a principle that only works and makes sense if you value yourself. And that only will work if you understand what there is to value. When you get caught up in the world and chasing your tail, what is the big deal? I don't matter so much. So neither do you. I'll let you as a friend, in quotes, do whatever you want. What matters in the world anyways? But the moment that you realize that you were Bachartana Mikolamim, that you are selected as someone that's noble and unique, your job is not to fit in with everybody else. It's not your job. That would be a failure of your job. That means that you don't want to be selected and unique. God chose you to be unique. What are you going to do about it? Live it up. Let us be unique in the proper way. And here we are back in yeshiva now after having been gone for a number of weeks. Just wake up and remind yourself, which version of me is the real version? What's my tell? Your tell is going to be when you go to bed at nighttime after a day well spent here, and a day well spent, I say that in quotes there, which one do you feel at the end like, ah, you know what? That was a great, what I had today was special. Which one's going to be that one? That's your tell. Make it the next morning, you feel great about yourself. That's your tell. You know this is where it's at when after you did whatever you worked hard to do, you felt good about it and proud of it afterwards. And if you don't have that feeling, even though you had a good fun time last time, wherever you were, that's a tell, that's not the real one. I don't have to give you any muster right now. Just wake up. Just wake up. Wake up and realize which one is really you. When you wake up and you realize it, because you put the time in and you see what it does to you while you're here, then you'll understand, despite the challenge we may have faced when we were over there, hard to keep things, hard to be inspired, this is a place, I don't mean in Torah Shrag, I mean in Eretz Yisrael and Yeshiva, is a place that reminds you of what exactly you're doing with yourselves. Atah bechartanu, mikol amin. You were selected because you are supposed to be different and unique. It only works if the kamocha of how great you are is realized that you are great, then your friend's also great. And you better care about him and mean do things that he may not want you to do for his best interest. It only will work if the kamocha is there also. I give you a bracha. You should have the clarity of mind to know what is real and what is not real. When you're dreaming and when you're not really sleeping. And then you have while you're awake, you realize what you matter and why you matter. And if you realize that, then the Yireyacha matters as much as you do. Shizocha, the next few weeks together in the yeshiva, to build each other up, to have the most unbelievable last week of this month together, to lead us to a Matan Torah, when we understand how we were selected in a very unique fashion. Have a beautiful Shabbos.